The following broadcast is a production of the Ministries of Marcus A. Kyler. We pray this message is both inspirational and transformational. For more information about Marcus, please visit marcusakyler.com. For more information about the communications consulting services he can provide for your ministry or nonprofit organization, please visit yourdigitalpastor.co. Thank you for listening. And be blessed.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening? Yeah.
Look, I've had it all, and I've lost it all. Yeah. I've been at the mountaintop, and I've been in the valley. But through it all, what I've come to realize more than anything is that this church communications thing, this is my passion. And I'm here to use my passion to help you tell the greatest story that's ever been told, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I get it. You need a friend, a shepherd, to guide you through this ever-changing digital ministry landscape while delivering a dose of encouragement along the way. Well, I'm that guy. I'm your man Marcus, and I am your digital pastor. To switch things up a little bit for this episode of the Your Digital Pastor podcast, and because I saw something that was just completely fascinating yesterday on Twitter from an individual by the name of Webb Smith, and he's on Twitter with the handle Webb, W-E-B. And now, you know, if you get one of those, special Twitter handles, you know that you got on pretty early. But to get the handle W.E.B., I imagine that he paid for it because he joined Twitter in June 2009. Now, people who have handles like that typically joined Twitter like back in 2007 at the latest, or the year it was founded in 2006. But anyway, Webb Smith is a serial entrepreneur. He's an investor, and he owns a property that he writes on daily or weekly. It's a very interesting resource, a premium resource. It's called 2PM, and that's at 2PM Inc. at 2PM INC on Twitter, and the website is 2PML, or no, that might be an I. I guess that's an I. 2PM I. I guess that is an L. 2pml.com, and it's a resource that has a lot of information on there for direct to consumer businesses and media executives and people who would value information about markets and market trends and how we spend money and how we market, how we advertise, how we do different things that impact how people spend their money. And there is an executive membership component to this website, and he stated that for Black Friday, he opened up his executive membership article, and I guess he writes
a couple of these a week, or one a week or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but he stated that he opened up his latest executive member brief for Black Friday, because what he wanted to do was he wanted to actually talk about the what I would categorize, if I were to summarize this article, the declining significance and impact of Black Friday, and he stated that he wanted to talk about it through the lens of the ACT exam and how it differentiates the elite students from all the rest, and the opportunities that it does or does not afford them to get into the schools that they want to get into. And so he talks about this, and I'm mentioning this now because he says it's opened up into November 30th, and the recording of this podcast is on November 29th. And so by the time you hear it, the article probably will not be unlocked anymore. But I did want to talk about it because I think there are some highlights, there are some conclusions that I believe can be made for the church communications space, and really this can apply to so many different parts of life, but definitely church communications. And I wanted to talk about it for a few minutes. And so in his article, he talks about the ACT exam, and I did not know I did not know any of this information, and just reading this article made me understand just the value of his executive membership and these articles that he comes out with, the insights on them, and people are paying upwards of about $1,000 a month, I think. I think that was the cost of it to be a part of this executive membership, where he's getting these where he's writing these articles based off of market research that he's reporting on. And so he's talking about the ACT exam and how at one point, if you were to get a 36 on the exam, and this is an exam that you can study for, and so the elite students who are fortunate enough, who are blessed enough to have parents who are able to invest money into getting their children tutored and trained for this exam, knowing that doing well on it will help them to get into the college that they want to get into. Students who are so blessed, they study for this exam, knowing, at one point in time, if you were to get a 36 on the exam, which is a perfect score, then that all but guaranteed your entrance into the school that you wanted to get into, whatever your first choice was. If it was an upper echelon school, if it was an Ivy League school or an Ivy League adjacent, which I would put a Stanford in that category, a Caltech, an MIT, Northwestern, University of Michigan, I would definitely put them in that category. And I know some people who may be listening to this right now are clowning me because they wouldn't put the University of Michigan in that category, but it's the best public university in the country. It's definitely I would put in the category of elite, especially if you are out of state. It's definitely I would put in that elite category. You could probably put Duke University in there as well. But anyway, you have the schools that you want to get into. At one point in time, if you were to get a 36, if you were to get a perfect score on that, it was so rare that you were just going to get into where you wanted to get into. And this article has shown that that over time, over a 20-year period from 1997 through 2017, the number of students who scored a perfect score on the exam has steadily gone up, and actually that number doubled from 2014 through 2017, to where at one point in time, in 1997, the percentage of overall students who took the exam who got a perfect score was 0.7%. That is 0.77%. So not even a full percentage of students got a perfect score on the ACT in 1997. In 2017, that number was 13.59%. So over a 20-year period, you have perfection going from 0.7% all the way up to 13.59%. And while 13.59%, even though that's still, you know, a really low overall number, it's definitely a far cry from 0.7%. And Webb Smith was just showing that, you know, because of that rise in the percentage of students who achieved a perfect score, what that allowed to happen was it took away the guarantee that students who got a perfect score would get into their first choice. If their first choice happened to be a super elite school, because it wasn't as rare anymore, it wasn't as special, and so so students could not lean on that perfect score anymore in order to you know, reach their goals of getting into the school that they wanted to get into, because when you take away that exclusivity, and it becomes something that's not as rare, then you start to have to lean on more characteristics about yourself than just your ability to score well on a singular exam. And so he was relating the trend of the ACT to the trend of Black Friday losing its significance. You know, Black Friday is definitely something that is still, you know, very important in the culture, and in fact, it's so important in the culture that I'm actually recording this episode on Black Friday, and I had to work today, but Black Friday is so important to so many people that at least a good third of the people I worked with didn't come in today, and because of that, it made for a very interesting morning, and you know, we were able to pick it up in the afternoon, but the morning was definitely a lot more hectic than it needed to be, because a third of our workforce just didn't come in, because that you know, that's how important you know, Black Friday is. But its importance has gone down, and Webb Smith you know, delineates in his article how that importance has gone down, and it's because, you know, if everybody is doing something special for Black Friday, if everybody is you know, having deep discounts, and everything has been discounted all over the place, then you know, people only have so many choices that they can choose from as far as, you know, where they're going to shop. There's only a limited amount of time, and you know, with a limited you know, with limited choices, and you know, with so many choices that you can make, it you know, it's not going to have the same impact for you know, every single business, and so you have to do something to differentiate yourself other than just offering deep discounts, and there are reports that are showing, and I'm only doing just a very rough summary of this very detailed article, but there were some studies that were showing that the percentage of businesses that were going to basically do their highest sales of the year on Black Friday, which just used to be a given across the board, even that number has gone down significantly over the years, to the point now where there are a lot of other days that some businesses end up making the most of their money, and not as many businesses as it used to be go from red to black because of Black Friday. And so Webb, he talks about all that in his article, and then he as he's talking about the fact that he unlocked this article for Black Friday, as he talks about it on Twitter, he added a quote to the, or he added a tweet to that. He says this thought: if you are a DTC, and that's a direct to consumer brand founder, your Black Friday Cyber Monday promotion should emphasize that your price isn't changing because your product is great and your value is legitimate. Alternatives: 1. Toss in a great memento. 2. Add a personalized CEO note. 3. Add an invite to a brand event. And so he's talking about these things because as I was just saying a moment ago, it's becoming more important than ever for businesses to do other things besides just offering deep discounts to differentiate themselves from everybody else. And really what he's getting to is it's not your price structure that's going to be attractive to people in a 2019, 2020 and beyond environment, but it's really the experience that somebody has with your business that's really going to make the difference. And it's really experience over anything. Experience is something that matters to people so much more these days than ever before. It's becoming something that again that's relevant in the test taking arena, because you don't have that perfect score to lean on anymore, and so admissions people they want to be able to experience the fullness of what you have to offer as a well-around student. Looking at your material, they just don't want to see your grades or your test scores, but they want to have an overall experience when they're looking through your portfolio to see what else you're bringing to the table. Businesses want to have an experience with consumers, I should say, we want to have an experience with a business that is something that is going to have an impact. It's something that's going to leave a mark on us. And if we have a wonderful experience with the business, then we're going to be more compelled to not just patronize that business more often, but we're going to share that with others, because we want people to have good experiences. We want the people that we care about to have the same kind of good experiences that we're having. And so experiences differentiate some businesses from others. Now how does this relate to church communications? So in social media, we can definitely see the same kind of thing happening. You know, there's something that we've actually come to obsess over in the past few years, because back in the earlier days of social media, and definitely I would say when Facebook hit its prime, from the standpoint of you're just being able to put anything on social media and you get the kind of response that you want. You know, Facebook really hit that probably in 2012, 2013. You know, where you could just put anything on there and you're going to be able to reach a large portion of your audience. And we all thought that was just going to last forever, until that A word came into play, the algorithm. The algorithm was introduced, and our organic reach went down, and people went nuts. People went berserk, and people were upset because they could no longer they no longer had the impact of their advertising on a free platform anymore. Again, a free platform, they could no longer get the kind of impact that they wanted on there, and so ever since then we've been obsessing with the fact that we have to strategize about how we're going to get around the algorithm, how we're going to get people to see our information, and how we're going to get people to see our content despite the algorithm. How can we create algorithm friendly posts, algorithmically sound posts that are going to be effective from an organic standpoint? You know, how are we going to do that? And so in this kind of environment where the algorithm has become king, it becomes important for us to emphasize brand, and brand speaks to the promise that you're making to somebody, and that promise is, you know, when you see when you see my brand, when you see my logo, or when you see something from my church or from my organization, when you see something that comes from us, when you see a tweet from us, when you see an Instagram post from us, our promise is our brand, and our promise is, this is what you're going to see. This is the theme. Or this is the kind of experience, because that's really what the promise speaks to. This is the kind of experience that you're going to have with our entity, whether that's a business, whether that's a nonprofit organization, a ministry, or what have you. That promise speaks to your brand and what you are bringing to the table, your unique DNA, how you show up in the world uniquely, based on how God made you and where God would have you to be at this point in time. And so brand, and this is something that Gary Vaynerchuk talks about so much, and it's so very true, that as time continues to go on and algorithms continue to soak up all of our attention and make it harder for us to do things for free, then it's going to be really important to have that kind of experience to be able to make people feel. Or make people have an unforgettable experience with who we are, and it's something that's going to stick with them and have an impact in their lives, and experience more than anything, brand more than anything, our promise to people more than anything about how we're going to show up in the world is what's going to be our unique selling proposition. It's going to be our differentiator. And so that is why we as ministries, we as churches, we have to emphasize not just what we do, but who we are. And if we lead first by who we are and how we show up in the world and what our DNA is and what our culture is, And shout out to T. Marie, because you know she, you know, this is something that she coined. If we focus on how we display our culture online and offline, if we focus on, you know, how we display our culture and how we live that out, and if people can lock into that, and if people can be attracted to that and be impacted by that, then they'll be more interested in what it is that we do. We have to show people who we are before we can get them to care about what we do. Again, we have to show people who we are and get them to connect to who we are before they care about what it is that we do. And really, that was the main takeaway for me from this article that I've been referencing, and the main takeaway that I have from the decreasing relevance of Black Friday. And one thing I forgot to mention that was really important in this conversation, in this article, you know, where he's talking about, you know, the decreasing relevance of Black Friday, is that, you know, businesses who, for whom their biggest day of the year, of the retail year, is not Black Friday. He gives a few examples of days that are intrinsic to that business. For instance, Amazon has Prime Day. This year, Amazon had, you know, basically had Prime Week, or not Prime Week, but basically Prime Day was 2 days instead of just 1 day. So, you know, so for 48 hours, it was basically Prime Day instead of just 24 hours. And so that day is something that is intrinsic to Amazon, and it's an Amazon branded day. They own that day. And one of the other businesses that was mentioned in this example was also Alibaba, where you know, in that part of the world, they have Singles Day. It's something that's different from Valentine's Day, and I forgot exactly how they came up with it, but Singles Day, you know, has basically become the biggest shopping day of the year in that part of the world, the biggest retail day of the year. And you know, that's the day that Alibaba does you know, the most business, and it's been like that for a few years. And that's something that is intrinsic to Alibaba. The day itself, Singles Day, is not intrinsic to Alibaba, but how they make money, the way that they make money, that's very special to, you know, it's become synonymous to that business, because they've dominated that day. When they come to own a day, then you know, it's something that's very powerful, you know, for your business. And so it becomes important for businesses to, and churches and whatever entity, to be able to have some kind of day or have some kind of experience that they own that can be so much a part of the brand of that entity, that when you think about that business, when you think about that ministry, you think about that particular day, because that's something that's just become so much a part of who they are. And that's something that we have to think about, you know, as a ministry. You know, what is it that we do? And again, we're not focusing just on what we do, we're focusing on who we are. But at what point of the year? Is there a specific day of the year, or week, or month, or period, or season of the year where who you are is on display most powerfully? Who you are is on display more so than at any other time during the year. At whatever time that is, that's the time that you know, you need to try to, you know, brand that to who you are and to something you, that you want to be able to dominate that time. And and so that was a definitely another takeaway that I had, you know, from that, you know, as the things that we we've grown accustomed to, that we've grown used to over the years, are shifting and changing, and as different things have decreased and subsequently increased in relevance and importance, you know, we have to really think about, you know, what we're doing. We have to switch some things up. We have to really begin to look at valuing the experience that you know, people have with our ministry, and intentionally designing things in order for people to experience who we are in a greater way. And so I pray that if nothing else, that you know, you could take that away from this conversation. You know, our experience is important. We want people to have an experience with our ministry, and we also want people to experience Christ through our ministry. We want people to have an encounter with God because of who we are as a people, of who you are as a church. You want people to have an experience with God because of that, and you want that experience that people have with God, you want people to not just, you know, think, you know, we want people to have that experience, but we also want them to remember that they had that experience because of something they felt from an experience that they had with you. And so again, if we take nothing away from this conversation, you know, people will connect with what you do when they first experience and appreciate who you are. You know, I believe the late Dr. Maya Angelou said it best when she said that, you know, people are not gonna you know, remember necessarily you know, what you said or what you did, but they're gonna remember how you made them feel. And I thought that was so powerful, and it's something that is ever relevant today, because you know, the experience that people have with us, what is intrinsic to that, what is intertwined with that, is a feeling, how we make people feel. People have a feeling, and people feel a certain way when they have experienced us. You know, when people are able to talk about the experience that they had with something, they're talking about how they felt about it. And people have to have a certain feeling about what you're bringing to the table. And people want to have a certain feeling about what they experienced and how they experienced God because of what you brought to the table, because of how you showed up as a church, as a ministry. So pray that this is something that blesses you as we as we're on our hustle and bustle and the holiday season. And the commercialism of the holiday season has officially gotten into full swing, that we can also consider and reconsider, you know, how people experience us, and not just from a church communications standpoint, but from a personal standpoint as well. You know, what kind of experience do people have when they connect with you one-on-one, when they connect with you personally? When people talk to you, when the people who care about you, they bring things to you, and they want to talk to you. They might want to vent. They might need to vent. They might need you to talk to them. They might need you to lead them in prayer. They just might need you to be a listening ear. What kind of experience do people have with you as a person, one on one? How do you make people feel when you are in conversation with them? You know, how do people feel to be a friend to you, to call you a friend? How do you make them feel? So these are just takeaways and things I want us to think about over the next week, over the next few days. as we close out this year and as we close out this decade, just definitely want to think about how we make people feel and how people feel about connecting with us, and how people feel about Christ because of how they connect with us. So yeah. God bless, and I'll talk to you all in the next one. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Your Digital Pastor. Until next time, be encouraged and be empowered.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.